Today's daf is Kuf Ayin. We're going to start. We'll go back a little bit to the two dots, about 10 lines from the bottom of Kuf Samach Tenem Ben. Rashbag omer hanotem matana lechaveiro v'ichzir lo et hashtar chazra matanato. V'chachamim omerim matanato kayemet. So if you recall, and I charted it out here, there's two different opinions as to why this is the case. So just let's remember the case. You give a gift to a friend with a shtar, and then he returns you the shtar. So does that mean that he gave you back the gift, or does it not mean that? So Rashbag says it means he gave you back the gift by giving you back the shtar. So the first opinion we saw, Amar Rav Asi, or my time at Rashbag, Amar Rav Asi, Nasa ke omer lo sadeh zeh netuna lecha kol zman shashtar biyadcha. It's as if the gift was conditioned upon him accepting the shtar and keeping it. And as soon as he doesn't have the shtar anymore, the gift isn't there. So it's almost like it was a condition of giving the gift, and the condition wasn't fulfilled, so the gift was canceled. But Rabba says, what are you talking about? What are you going to say? If it was stolen or lost, it would be the same? As long as he doesn't have the shtar, it's not his? What if he loses it, right? Silly, it doesn't make sense to say, kol zman shashtar biyadcha. He could have, by the way, Rav Asi could have corrected it and said, what I meant was, kol zman, that you don't return it to me. Then it would have made sense, and it would have precluded those two cases from being options. But anyway, Rabba says on his own that, therefore, I disagree with you that that's the reason. Amar Rabba, ba'otiyot niknop b'mesira kamiflage. D'Rashbag savar otiyot niknop b'mesira. V'Rabbanan savre ein otiyot niknop b'mesira. What we're talking about here is when you pass on a shtar that has your name on it, and you give it to somebody else, right? Even though it says that you have ownership of this item, if you pass on the shtar to somebody else, by passing it on, are you makna to them the property, even though it's not written in their name and it doesn't say, I'm giving you this property? But can you do that? That would be called otiyot niknop b'mesira, right? The words of this shtar can be acquired just by you passing it on to the other person. Or is it not? So Rashbag says otiyot niknop b'mesira, which means that if the person passes you the shtar, it's not like Rav Asi said, that the matana was never kayemet really because the tanai wasn't fulfilled. The matana was a good matana, but now he's returning it to you by passing you the shtar. He's basically saying, this is now yours. And that's Rashbag. And Rabbanan savri, no, eino tiyot niknop b'mesira. Therefore, by the person passing the shtar onto you, that doesn't mean anything. It has no significance whatsoever. If the person was actually trying to return the gift to you, they'd have to write a shtar that says, I am passing this gift back to you, or I'm giving you this property, or I'm selling it to you, whatever it might be. And therefore, eino tiyot niknop b'mesira. So in light of that, the Gemara now brings a braita, where the first suggestion of this braita is going to be that they're arguing about otiyot niknop b'mesira, and then they're going to say, if that's the case, the opinions are flipped and it doesn't make sense. So you can see here on the chart that we're basically going to bring this case, and we're going to have five different options as to understanding what the machloket is about. Some of the options have difficulties, and some of them don't have difficulties. Tanu Rabbanan, habali don b'shtar u'b'chazaka, Nidon b'shtar devar Rebbe. Rashbag omer b'chazaka. So if you come and you say, the case we're assuming is you come to court and say, I have a shtar on this land and I have a chazaka on this land. So now the question is, can you use either one to prove it? So according to Rebbe, nidon b'shtar. If you have a shtar, right, you can use a shtar, you can prove it by shtar, or you can prove it by chazaka. Okay, again, we're going to say that the first assumption we have of this is not clear. We're going to eventually, the very last option is going to reverse the opinions in the sense of one says shtar, one says chazakah. The question is, one of them means only in this way, and one of them means either or. So we're not sure who means what. So right now we're going to assume that it means, the first opinion is either shtar or chazakah. And Rashbag comes to say, only chazakah, we can't use the shtar. So if Rashbag says we can't use the shtar, we're going to have to try to figure out, why does he think the shtar can't be used? So the first assumption is, well, why wouldn't a shtar be able to be used? Maybe exactly for this reason, because maybe the shtar that we're talking about, okay, if you notice in the chart, not only are they disagreeing about what the root of the machloket is, which is under Rebbe and Rashbag, but what they're really arguing about is what the case is. Okay? It just says Habali Dom Bashtar B'chazaka. We don't really know too many facts about the case. Other than the guy said, we can assume he said, or the guy, at least we know, he has a shtar and he has a chazaka on the land. He's been living there for 3 years. But we don't know exactly what the details of the case is. So Rav Dimi assumes, Kiyata Rav Dimi Amar, Bo Tion Niknop and Mesira Kamiflage. Their machloket is based on Bo Tion Niknop and Mesira, which means what? The case is where the shtar that he has to prove his ownership over the land doesn't have his name in it. It has someone else's name in it. And he claims, well, they passed it on to me. So now let's go through. So if Rebbe says Nidom Bishtar, he thinks the shtar is good. If he thinks the shtar is good, then what does that mean? Otiot Niknop and Mesira. So he says you can prove it by shtar, you can prove it by chazaka, either which one. Rashbag says Ein Otiot Niknop and Mesira, and therefore the shtar is no good, and therefore the only way you can prove it is chazaka. What's obviously the problem here? Well, first, right, he contradicts himself, but let's hold off before we get there, because we'll see that Abaye first says a little differently. But anyway, let's read it inside. Rav Shimon Gamliel Savar Ein Otio Niknop B'Mesira. The Rebbe Savar Otio Niknop B'Mesira. That was just the explanation. Now, Amar Abaye Imken Pluta Lidimar. If that's the case, he says, then Rav Dimi, you must disagree with Rabba, who explained that the machloka between Rashbag and Chachamim in the other case was Otiot Niknop B'Mesira, and Rashbag said Otiot Ar Niknop B'Mesira, and here Rashbag says Otiot Ein Niknop B'Mesira. So, Amarlei V'Tiflog, one second, Amarlei Hachikamina, right, V'Tiflog, V'Tiflog Lach Matnitza Lo Mitaratzta Ela Kedimidaratzta Mar. He says, but that braita there with the Chazra Matanato or in Chazra Matanato can only be explained according to Rabbah. In other words, don't try to hang the problem on Rav Dimi, you're disagreeing with Rabbah, which, okay, we could handle that Rav Dimi disagrees with Rabbah. That's not such a big contradiction. It's saying Rav Dimi has one way of reading it, Rabbah has a different way of reading it. But he says, you should say it like this. Matnita lamitzaratzta elakidimitaratztamar. Remember, Rav Asi, we rejected. So the only way to understand that braita is the way Rabbah explained it. Which means, imkein, kasha di Rabbah Shim ben Gamliel, ad Rabbah Shim ben Gamliel. You follow? So in the end, first he tries to just say, Rav Dimi, you must have a different way of reading that sugya than Rabbah does. Because Rabbah said there, the machlag between Rashbag and Chachamim was about Otio Nikhilab and Mesira. But then he points out that it's not just that he disagrees with Rabbah, it's that that's the only way to read the Braita. If that's the only way to read the Braita, then clearly Rashbag contradicts Rashbag, and therefore, Rav Dimi, your answer is not a good answer. So, Ela Amar Abaye, Abaye comes and says, Hacha b'mayaskina, what's the case? Okay, remember I told you, each one's going to say the case is a different case. Again, they're all trying to figure out why a shtar, it's strange to say chazakah and not shtar. Because remember, why do we say chazakah works? Okay, we have to go back to the third paragraph, good review for the end of the Masechet. Why does a shtar work, chazakah work? Because the assumption is, after 3 years, we assume you don't keep your shtarot anymore, right? It might have gotten eaten by mice, it might have something happened to it. We'll go back to this eating by mice later today. So anyway, the question is, why would a shtar not be good? So everyone's trying to find a reason. So the first one was, maybe the shtar was written in someone else's name. The second one's going to be El Amar Abaye Hacha B'Mayaskina Kigon Shenimtza Achav Mehen Karov O Pasul. Maybe it's a shtar that you have, but one of the edim is a relative or is pasul le'edu. In which case, we have a shtar, but the shtar is not so good. So therefore, Rashbag is going to say only chazaka. Now, obviously, white opinion is going to be a little difficult. How can Rebbe say we can use this shtar if there's an ed pasul, right? So, what's the machloket going to be about? Ubeplugta de Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Elazar kamiflage. Okay, you follow? Until now, it was easier to understand Rebbe, who says shtar or chazaka, right? It was harder to understand Rashbag. Now, if we say the shtar was pasul, then how could you use the shtar? So here's the machloket. Going back, this is good chazara from Gitin. The basic machloket that was all throughout Gitin. Plugta de Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Elazar kamiflage. Rebbe Savrala ke Rabbi Elazar, Damar, Ede Mesira Karte. From Shimon Gamliel Savrala ke Rabbi Meir, Damar, Ede Chatima Karte. Do you remember this? Which is the important thing in a transaction? Is it, right? They talk about it by get, but it's also by shtarot. Is it the edim that saw the shtar be passed from one person to the other, or in the case of gittin, the get given by the man to the woman? Which means that if the signatures aren't good, it doesn't really matter, because the edim mesira saw the person give the get, or saw the person give the shtar, which means if he's giving him a shtar, obviously he meant for it to be valid. And Rabbi Meir says, no, it's the edim that are critical in the get, the ones that sign. That's what makes this get into a real get, or the shtar into a good shtar. And therefore, if there's a problem, so let's just apply to our case. If we say ede chatim akarte, and one of the chatimot is no good, well then, we don't have a good deal here. The shtar is no good. You can only prove it by chazaka. If you say ede mesira karte, then we don't care if one of them is karov or pasu. You can still bring the shtar, because the shtar is just testimony to the fact that we have edim that actually saw the transaction go through. Okay? So now what do we say? But wait a minute. That can't work, because v'ha'ama Rabbi Abba said about this machloke, Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Meir, Modeh haya Rabbi Elazar b'mezuyaf mitocho shehu pasul. Rabbi Elazar would agree, though. He would say Eide Mesira Karte in a case where there was a get, and let's say no chatimot, okay? Or a get and there's chatimot that we can't verify. But if you recall there, the whole reason why we said Eide Mesira Karte is, it's Dafka Eide Chatima Karte, because maybe we won't find the Eide Mesira, right? And then, maybe, right? But you could say also Eide Mesira Karte, because, right, we're going to hold by then, because maybe we won't be able to be Mekayim the signatures, and as long as we have Eide Mesira, that's good. So now, what does he say? In this case, it's Mezuyach Mitocho. If there's a psul in the shtar, there's an aid that's no good, well, we won't accept that in court. Okay, and there's a very famous Tosfot on Daf Dalet of Gittin, where Rabbeinu Tam tries to understand the Shita of Eide Mesira, and he has a unique interpretation, where he says, it's not that we don't need signatures, according to him. We do need signatures. But if we have the Eide Mesira, who saw the passing on of the shtar, we can assume, I'll quote his words, the mistama behechsher nase. The minastam, the chatimot, were correct. It's that we don't have to go being mekayem the chatimot, because we have the Eide Mesira who verify that, oh yes, we saw the guy give the get. So we can assume it was a kasher get. And the Eidim were kasherim. But if we know that the Eidim weren't kasherim, then we have a problem. Because already, why are you having pasul Eidim on your shtar? And then we're not going to accept the Eidim Mesira, because then it's one thing to say, Mistama, we can assume that it was Dama Hechsher. But if we know it wasn't Dama Hechsher, he's not going to accept it. Okay, so therefore, it can't be that case. So now Rabbi Avina is going to give go with the same line, but change it a little to make it work. Elam Rabbi Avina, Hakol Modim. Everyone agrees. She'im Kachubo, who's Kachnu Leidutan Shaleidim, Benim Tseit Eidutan Mizuyefet, Shu Pasul. Everyone will agree that if we check into the Eidim, like we said a minute ago, and it turns out the Eidim are no good, and you know, there's a problem with the Shtar, even if you say Eidim Sira Karte, the Shtar is not going to be good. Kidu Rabbi Abba, just like Rabbi Abba says. But here comes his Shita. Lo Nech Leku Ela B'Shtar She'en Alav Eidim Klal. Their machloket is about a shtar where there were no edim at all. If there's no edim on the shtar, then de Rebbe Savar Laka Rabbi Elazar Damar edim Mesira Karte. In other words, the edim aren't so critical. Okay, according to him, by the way, there's a mishnah that says edim chotmin la shtar mipnei tikkun olam. What does that mean? It means yes, edim Mesira is sufficient. However, they instituted a takana that the Eidim Chotmim al Hashtar, because what if we can't find the Eidim Mesira? What if they went abroad? What if they died? Then we're stuck. We have no way to verify this. But in a case where the Shtar had no Chatimot to begin with, and it's, yes, ideally you should put Chatimot, didn't have Chatimot, it's still Kasher, because we have these Eidim Mesira. And that's why Rabbi says, in a case where there's no Eidim on the Shtar at all, but we have Eidim Mesira to say, he passed the Shtar on to the other guy, then we'll accept the Shtar. The Shtar is sufficient, because we have Eidim Mesira. And in that case, so Rabbi Savar like Rabbi Elazar, Damar Eide Mesira Karte, Roman Shimon Ben Gamli, Al Savar like Rabbi Meir, Damar Eide Chatima Karte. And he says, no, without Eide Chatima, Enomaladaber. we can't use this, and therefore only chazaka. Okay? Tov. That was the third option, and that's a good option. But the Gemara brings another option. Ibait ema bimode bishtar shektavo tzarich lekaimo kamiflage. You remember this? Okay, so what's the case? Before we explain the machloket, the case is where the Baal HaShtar, the guy who sold it, admitted that there was a shtar. He said, yes, there was a shtar, but we don't have Edim to be mekayem the shtar. In other words, we can't find the Edim who signed on it. We can't, the courts don't have any records of their signatures. But let's say I sold you a plot of land. I say, yes, I saw, and you try to prove ownership. Right now, I say that, yes, there was the shtar, but, the question is, what would I be saying, one second, if I... So he would have to say, I wrote the shtar, but he would say, I never gave it to him. That's what it was. I would say, yes, I wrote you a shtar, mechira, but I never gave it to you. It fell out of my property. It got lost from my property somehow. And now, you took it, you found it, and you're claiming it's yours. But really, I never gave you the shtar. I agree that I wrote it, but I never sold you the land. Okay? That's my claim. And your claim is, I have the shtar in my hand. I want to use the shtar to prove it. So the question is, in this case, this is a classic case of modeh b'shtar shektavo. I was modeh that I wrote the shtar. However, I'm claiming, though, that I didn't actually give it to you. So in a case where I admit that I wrote the shtar, do we need to be mekayim the signatures of the Edim? So now in this case, if we can't be mekayim the signatures of the Edim, is that a necessary act? Or is the shtar valid even without verifying the witness's signatures? So again, that would affect whether you say we can use the shtar as proof or we can't use the shtar as proof. So what are we going to say here? Remember, Rebbe holds nidon b'shtar. So obviously, what's he going to say? Modeh b'shtar shektavo ein tzarich l'kaimo. It's good enough. Just because I said it, I wrote the shtar, that's good enough to use this shtar in a court, even if we can't verify the signatures. Rav Shimon Gamliel savar tzarich l'kaimo. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, you can't use the shtar here. You can only use chazaka because you have to be mekayim the shtar, and this shtar can't be mekuyam. So now, before we go to the next explanation, we're going to have, and this is at the bottom, we're going to have a long question on this. Okay, I say long because it's going to have three parts till we actually get to the question, and then we'll give an answer. Okay, you can already see by the answer is ipuch, which is, as we're going to say that the shitot are flipped, and then we're going to say, oh, we'll just flip them. Okay, so, but in order to get there, we have three shlavim, that's why I put it at the bottom, I organized it, to understand. So now, they say, but in fact, we see that the shitot are flipped. Okay? But that's not the way it works. Okay? The way we said it here. The opinions don't match up. Why? D'tanya, it says in Bava Metzia, shnayim adukim b'shtar. This is like shnayim ochazim b'talit. Two people come into court holding the same shtar. Remember always, right? If it's in the hands of the buyer says, I bought it. If it's in the hands of the seller could say, right, I never meant to get it. I wrote it, but I never actually sold the property. It was in my hands, and it dropped, right? And they both find it on the floor, and they both grab it and claim that it fell from me, and the other one claims it fell from me. So, shnayim adukim b'shtar. Milva omer shelihu v'nafal mimeni umitzato umitzativ v'halova amar shelchahu uprativ lecha. Right? In other words, I found it, and I already paid it back. Okay? In other words, here, let's assume, right, they're assuming it's a shtar halva. Okay? So I said it was a sale, but shtar halva. The milva says, it was mine, it fell from me, which means you haven't paid me back. And the lova says, no, I had the shtar in my hands because I already paid you back, and it fell from me. Okay? So what would you assume the halacha is based on shnayim ochazim b'talit? Yachloku. Right? However, there's a machloket. Okay, so the first opinion is Yitkayem Hashtar Bechotamav Divrei Rebbe. Okay, if we can verify that the signatures are valid, then what happens? The assumption, okay, we're going to see in a minute, it's not exactly, but we're going to assume right now that what does Rebbe assume? That if you can verify the signatures, then we assume it's a valid shtar. If it's a valid shtar, who do we assume it was in the hands of? The malveh. And the malveh can say, pay me back the money. Okay? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer yachloku. Okay, so Rashbag holds, like we would have assumed, we split it 50-50 because they're both holding the shtar. So now, they asked a question on this braita. V'havinam ba, something doesn't make sense about this braita, because v'leile l'rebi hadit nan shnayim ochazim b'talit zeh omer ani mitzatia v'zeh omer ani mitzatia zeh yishava she'en lo b'pacho michetzia v'zeh yishava she'en lo b'pacho michetzia v'yachloku. Doesn't Rebbe know the famous Mishnah, right? Didn't he hold by the Mishnah that says two people are holding a talit? This one says it's mine, right? It's mine. This one says it's mine. So each one swears that he at least owns half of it. And then they split it 50-50. So this should be the same. So how could Rebbe not think that Yachloku? For Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. So now Rava is going to explain the name of Rav Nachman. What exactly Rebbe meant. B'mikuyam, if the shtar was already mikuyam beforehand, okay, meaning the shtar was already stamped by the court, this is a good shtar, dekuleyama lo pligi diachlogu, then everyone agrees that we split it 50-50. Ki pligi, the machloket's going to be in a case, b'she'eno mikuyam, when the shtar wasn't mikuyam al yidei beitin, and we have to go verify the signatures. So Rebbe Savar, modeh b'shtar shekatvo, Sarich Lekaimo. Rebbe holds that in this case, what is this? It's a classic. The Loveh agrees that the shtar exists, right? He said, you're right, I took out a loan. However, I paid you back. So that's a classic. Modeh b'shtar shekatvo, right? He says, I wrote the shtar, or whether he wrote it or not, but it means, I agree that the shtar is a good shtar. The question is, Sarich Lekaimo or not? So he holds, Rebbe Savar, modeh b'shtar shekatvo, shetzarich Lekaimo. It needs kiyum hashtar, which means what? I mekayim le gabe palga. If they are mekayim b'shtar, then we're going to split it 50-50. Then he agrees with Rashbag. If we verify the signatures of the witnesses, then we split it 50-50. V'i lo, but if we can't verify the signatures, then what's he going to hold? Chaspa ba'almahu. It's just a shard of clay. In other words, it's nothing. It's a meaningless document, in which case we wouldn't even say yachloku. What do we say? The malva for sure can't get anything back because he has to be mekayim the shtar. So you follow? So what do you see here? The Rebbe holds modeh b'shtar shekatvo sarich lekaimo. Look back at your chart. What did we say in the previous case? The Rebbe holds nidon b'shtar because ain sarich lekaimo. Okay? And Rashbag's Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Savar, modeh b'shtar shekatvo, ain sarich lekaimo, and therefore, if the shtar wasn't mikuyam, we don't care, no matter what, yachloku. As long as the loveh agrees that there was a loan to begin with, we can force him to at least pay half. Okay, now again, why do they pay half here, not the whole? Because they're each holding on to the shtar. So they're each muhzakim, the shtar is theirs, right? Remember, if the Loveh walked into the court with it, then he wouldn't have to pay. If the Malveh walked in, the Loveh would have to pay. In this case, they're both holding it, so we're going to do Yachloku. So according to Rav, in the name of Rav Nachman, the case where Shnayim Adukim B'Shtar was a unique case where it wasn't Mikuyam yet, and the Machloket is basically, if we can't be Mekayim the Shtar, do we say Yachloku, because we say it doesn't need Kiyum Ashtar, or do we say, no, if you can't be Mekayim the Shtar, it's a meaningless Shtar entirely, even though the Loveh admits that there was a Shtar. We're going to assume it's a meaningless Shtar, and therefore, we're not going to be Gova anything. That's where Rebbe disagrees with Rashbag. So now, according to this, the Shitot are totally flipped, okay? Because they each say the opposite of what they said by us. So therefore, what does the Gemara answer? Ipuch, flip the shitot in Baba Metzia so that they line up with the shitot here. Okay, that's what we'd have to say. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. That was option number 4. Option number 5, the Ibayit Ema, laolam lo tepuch. In other words, we can give you a better answer where you wouldn't have to flip the shitot in Baba Metzia, because, right, better not to start flipping shitot if you don't have to. We'll give you a better answer. Elahacha bilivarer kamiflage. Okay, before we explain what livarer is, let's say what the case is. This is finally, we're going to get to where we switch. We said in the beginning that Rebbe said nidon b'shtar meant shtar or chazaka, and chazaka meant only chazaka. Now we're going to flip it. We're going to say nidon b'shtar means dafka b'shtar, according to Rebbe, and you can't use chazaka. And Rashbag is going to say either chazaka or shtar. You follow? We're flipping which one meant, right? Each one said one, remember we said, and one meant one, and the other meant either or. So now we're flipping who says either or. So what's the case? As soon as we explain the case, you'll understand it better. If the guy comes to court and says, okay, let's say Naomi's claiming this land is hers. She says, I have a shtar and I have a chazaka. So now the machloket is about, we've actually seen this before. Does she need to, she didn't have to say, I have a shtar and I have a chazaka, right? This is the classic, they always say more is less, right? Don't say too much. Don't offer too much information. Naomi offered too much information. She said, I have a shtar and I have a chazaka. So now, does she have to bring both the shtar and the chazaka? Or does she, in other words, really the question is, the chazaka is easy. Does she have to bring the shtar? And if she doesn't have a shtar, do we throw her out of court and say, you're obviously lying? Okay, we don't trust you. That's what it means, sarich libarer. Do we have to make sure that she stands true to what she says? Okay, libarer u la'amet, right? To verify her words. So let's read it inside. Kiha de Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef. Okay, now they're going to show this by an example. There was a case of Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef. Have a masik bezuze by Rabbi Abba. He was owed money by Rabbi Abba. And Rabbi Abba wasn't returning him the money. Atel kamei de Rabbi Yitzchak nafcha. So he goes before Rabbi Yitzchak nafcha. Amar. So what does Rabbi Abba say in the court? Praticha bifnei ploni uploni. I returned it to you in front of two witnesses. Amar le Rabbi Yitzchak, Yavo ploni uploni v'yaidu. Ah, if you say you paid it back in front of witnesses, well then bring on the witnesses. If you can bring them on, great. If you can't bring them on, too bad. Now, do you have to bring witnesses to say praticha? Is that a right? Generally, we say the loves says I paid it back already, so you don't really need to bring witnesses. But he said, I did it in front of witnesses. So because he offered extra information, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha said, well, you have to bring them now. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Abba says to him, Ilo Atu Lo Mehem Nina? If they don't come, what, you're not going to believe me? How could you say, I have to bring the witnesses? If I don't bring the witnesses, you're not going to believe me? V'ha Kaimalan, don't we know that Hamalved Chavero Be'edim, If you borrow money from me in front of witnesses, but without a shtar, Eino tzarich lefaro be'edim. Just because you loan me the money in front of edim doesn't mean that I have to, right? It's not just, right? The halacha is, he says this, that I don't need to pay it back with edim. Just because you did the loan in front of edim doesn't mean I need edim to pay it back. In which case he says, therefore, on what basis are you forcing me to bring the edim forward? I don't need to bring edim. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says, Ana bahi kishmata demar svira lei. I hold like so-and-so. I hold like you on this issue. Okay, says to Rabbi Abba. And he quotes it, Rabbi Abba's name, this halacha. Da Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav, Adabar Abba, Amar Rav. Rabbi Abba passed down the name of Rav, Adabar Abba, and the name of Rav. Haomer lechavero, praticha bifnei ploni uploni, tzarich shiavo ploni uploni v'yaidu. So he says, I hold by you yourself. You're the one who said that if you come to court, this is very strange, right? That he himself said it. That if you come to court and say, I paid you back in front of so-and-so and so-and-so, you have to bring so-and-so and so-and-so. Because, according to this, tzarich levarer. Okay? If you offer too much information, we're going to hold you accountable to it. So therefore, I hold like you in this issue.
I'm surprised that the Lovet wouldn't have cut the shtar, saying, well, yes, I paid you back in here.
Right, it's true. He didn't have a shtar, right, a cut shtar to prove it. So in this case, it's very likely that there was no shtar. Because that he quotes the case of Hamalbeh Chavero Be'edim where there was no shtar. So it was probably a milval peh. So now he says back to him, Rabbi Abba, Amar Lei, V'ha Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav, Halacha Kedivre Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel. The halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel in this case, which would be what? It's not Tzarich Levarer, it's Ein Tzarich Levarer. which is exactly what we said before, right? Look at Rashbag. According to this, if he says bechazaka, right? What does he mean bechazaka? Even bechazaka, you can prove it, because just because he said I have a shtar doesn't mean he has to bring a shtar. Just because Naomi said I have a shtar and a chazaka, you can get away with just bringing the chazaka. Okay? So therefore, he says, now there's a bit of a problem here, because Rabbi Abba said, in the name of Rabbi Abba, there's a few problems here. Number one, Rabbi Abba himself was the one who passed on this halacha, and he himself was silly enough to go to court and say, b'fnei ploni u'ploni, right? You'd think he would have realized not to do that. And he's trying to say that ain't tzarich levarer, when he is the one who actually quoted in his name that tzarich levarer. But it could be he was quoting in Rav's name, but says we don't hold that way. But the problem is that Rav Gidel says in the name of Rav, contradictory, right? He says, ain't tzarich levarer. So there's also a contradiction with Divrei Rav in and of themselves, which is another problem in this sugya. Anyway, so then he quotes, he says, halacha is like Rashbag, v'af Rebbe, and even Rebbe, you said, tzarich levarer, lo amar, ela levarer. He only meant that you should be mevarer, but not that. In other words, if someone comes to court and says, b'fnei ploni u'ploni, so we should ask him to bring ploni u'ploni, okay? Or if he says, I have a chazak and a shtar, we should tell him, bring your chazak and your shtar. But if he doesn't, it doesn't mean we don't accept his other testimony, right? In other words, if he has valid testimony, chazak is enough, to say praticha is enough, then we don't, in the event that he doesn't have it, we don't hold him accountable. In other words, he should be mevarer, but he doesn't have to. So Amarlei, ananami livarer ka'amina. In other words, what I meant when I said this was when I said this in the name of Rav, and I said, Omer l'chavero praticha b'fnei ploni ploni, tzarich shiavu ploni ploni b'ya'idu, I only meant that you should, okay? But not that you have to, okay? Not that if you can't do it, we're not going to accept it. Okay. 1 second, I just want to make sure that I explain that right. 1 sec. Oh, sorry, no, I read it wrong. No, so Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says, right, sorry, the Amar Le, I made a mistake, and who the Amar Le? The Amar Le is Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says to him, I was also in agreement with you. I wasn't disagreeing with you. When I told you to bring the Edim, it's because ananami levarer ka'amina. I was just telling you, you should bring them, but not that you have to. In other words, I wasn't trying to say that if you don't bring the Edim, I won't accept it. Okay? And therefore, in this case, in other words, he was just trying to tell him, you should bring them, la'amet et varecha, but not that you have to. And as if you don't, we'll still accept your words in court. Okay, Mishnah. Just 1 second, I want to check one thing. Sorry. Right, there's two different ways of reading this, from what I remember now. Right, so there's a way of reading it. 1 second. Right. So that was one way of reading it. Another way of reading it is that Rav Gidel says in the name of, as Rabbi Abba says, but Rav Gidel says in the name of Rav, the halacha is kirashbag, and Rebbe says tzarich levarer, but that's crazy because now you're going to basically cause this person to be mafsid in court what really is his right when he actually has proof of it. And Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha said, and therefore I prefer Rashbag to Rebbe, and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says, no, I think tzarich levarer, and therefore, if you don't bring me proof, you're going to lose in court. So there's two ways of reading the actual conclusion here. Okay, those are two different readings of the text. Okay, new Mishnah. Mi shepara miktzat chovo. Somebody pays back half of his loan, let's say, okay, or part of his loan. So now what are we supposed to do, right? Because remember, we have a shtar. You can't rip the shtar because the shtar is still good. You could write a shovar, but we'll see there's some problems with that. So what do you do? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yachlif. We switch the shtar out, basically. So what does that mean? We rip up the shtar and we write a new shtar, but what's the problem? if we write a new shtar today, right, that says, I owe you, and let's say it was 100 shekel, and then we pay back 50. So now we write up a new shtar. We rip up the first one. We write a new shtar that says, I owe you 50. What date are we putting on the shtar, right? Generally, we can really only write the date of today. But if we write the day of today, right, all my nechasim should be meshu'abadim from the earlier date, right? So anything I sell between now and then, if I write today's date, won't be meshu'abad to the loan. So therefore, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? We're allowed, Adim can come and write a new shtar with the previous old date. Okay, that's like a chidush. Rabbi Yossi Omer, yichtov shovar, the malveh keeps his full shtar that says you owe me X from X date, 100 shekel, let's say, and then we write a shovar that stays in the hands of the loveh that says I already pay back 50. So when the malveh comes with the shtar and says you owe me 100, the loveh pulls out his shovar that says I only owe you 50. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, how could you do that? Nimtza, zet tzarich liyot shomer shavaro menach barim. Right? This reminds me of you get a store credit. Right? If you lose your store credit, it's your tough luck. The store doesn't keep any records of it, right? It's like that. What happens? This shovar, right? It happened to me once where I had a credit slip, and it was one of those things they printed out from those, you know, and it faded, and it was basically faded to nothing. That's a good example of this. So basically he says, why should the loba, in their days it was mice they were worried about. I told you we'd get back to the mice. The mice would eat the parchment. So therefore, that's the whole thing with the Sifrei Torah and leaving the truma and they were worried the mice would eat up the Sifrei Torah. They didn't want to leave the truma and the, like near the Aron Kodesh. So anyway, what does he say? It shouldn't be the loba's responsibility, right? That's why we write a new shtar. Amarlo Rabbi Yossi, kach yafelo, v'lo yera kocho shel zeh. Whose interest are we mostly worried about? Not the loveh, but the malveh. For two possible reasons. Number one, see this also, we've seen this before, we'll see it again in Sanhedrin. Eved loveh li'ish malveh. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says that basically the malveh did a favor to the loveh, so therefore the loveh is basically an eved to the malveh, and therefore the malveh is the one who we care about protecting, not the loveh. Or number two, if the loveh has a receipt that he has, right, that he paid back part of it, and he's worried the mice are going to eat it, it'll give him incentive to try to pay back the loan quicker, which is also in the best interest, right? We'd rather protect the malveh, and therefore it's better for the malveh if the loveh has a shovar. Now, the Gemara, interestingly, so we have a machloket. Do we just rip it up and aid him write a new shtar, or with the earlier date, or do we just write a shovar? You can see that also the problem with writing a shovar is it could lead to ziufim, right? If a malveh has a shtar that says you owe me 100 and a shovar will potter the guy from paying part of it, so we could see that people could forge shovarim and try to claim that they already paid the money back. So Amarav hu namarav, ein halacha lo kerabbi Yehuda velo kerabbi Yossi. So we have this nice machloket in the Mishnah, and Rav is koveya that we don't paskin like either of them. Ela, he says it's not good enough to have Adim do it. We don't want Adim ripping up the shtar and writing a new one. Only the court has the authority to rip up the shtar and write it from the earlier date. Okay? So Amar le Rav Nachman le Rav Huna v'Amar le Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba le Rav Huna ishmiya le Rav Hai Braita Ditanya Adi Makarin de Tashar Kotvin Lo Star Khir Mizmar Mishon Hava Hadrabe. So now he says, if Rav had seen this Braita, he must not have seen this Braita, because if he had seen this Braita, he would have held like Rabbi Yehuda. Because what does the Braita say? It says explicitly that Adim are allowed to rip a shtar or write a new shtar from the Zman Rishon, from the earlier date. In other words, what he assumes right now is that what Rav didn't like was that how can Adim predate the shtar? Only the court has the authority to do such a thing. So then, Amar Lei, Shmi Alei, V'lo Hadarbe. So he says back to him, okay, this Rav Yirmiyah, who said it to? Rav Nachman said it to Rav Huna, or some people say Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba said to Rav Huna, and Rav Huna says back, no, Rav actually saw that Braita, and he still wasn't Chozer Bo what he said, and tomorrow we're going to see why. Okay, they're going to have an explanation as to why, even if Rav had seen that Braita, he still wouldn't have been Chozer Bo.